Okay, we'll call us to order. Thank you. Looks like we've probably got a fairly routine meeting, but Wayne, I don't say that because that's when things go south.
Yes, it is.
That's right. Well, there are no introductions, and so Kathleen, if you'll have the invocation, please.
Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, thank you for a glorious day, for the gift of your Son. We ask you for the gifts of discretion and wisdom to do your will for the youngsters of South Carolina. Thank you for bringing us here safely, and please ensure that we get home to our loved ones safely. Amen.
And Ron is going to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Lindsay will read our mission statement.
Our mission is to improve learning and increase learning opportunities in South Carolina through the creation of innovative, high-quality charter schools. Ultimately, we strive to assist South Carolina in achieving academic excellence.
Okay, and did everybody meet John? Okay, right. Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
You're coming on at a at a time when you may think after the next 3 months, what have I bitten off? We got summer is our busy time, unlike a lot of other places, and this summer is going to be even busier than normal. But welcome aboard. Madam Secretary, if you will take the role, please.
Ms. Bagley,
here.
Mr. Boy, are we expecting him or to call in?
No.
Mr. Chappell?
He's not going to be here either.
Mr. Payne?
Here.
Dr. Epps?
Here.
Mr. McLaurin?
Here.
And Ms. Staley?
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Consent agenda. I don't know of any.
Could I just make one comment?
Yeah.
I haven't done total comparisons of the enrollment in past years, but it does look like this has been our most consistent year in enrollment. 18 of our 31 schools have stayed about where they are or added numbers, and we haven't seen the wild fluctuation in our virtual schools that we've seen in past years, which is really a nice.
That's good news.
Yeah, it's good news.
Okay. So with that, did I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, it would now be an appropriate time to ask about the enrollment report, or how about if I make a move to approve the consent agenda first, and then I can ask you that.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be really technical about it, you could ask that the enrollment report be removed. But if you just make the motion and then you want to ask a question about it, I won't object. And if nobody else objects, you're off and running.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Then I'll make that motion to approve the consent agenda.
Can I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay, now.
My question has to do with kind of a follow-up, Wayne, to what you said about the consistency, essentially, for most of our schools across the board. And the one that pops out at me is consistently way short of its enrollment projections is Garden City.
Right.
Have there been any discussions with Mr. Raspberry and those?
And that's perfect timing because Garden City is going to be mentioned in the performance report by Dana.
And okay, well,
would that be a better time, maybe?
It might be.
If it's okay with you, I think that'd be better.
Not a problem.
Okay.
As long as you know, we can have some discussion.
Right. That would be a more appropriate time.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
I assume there are no public comments. Any staff want to make public comments? You probably make one. I suspect most of your comments would not be fit. Executive session. again, if anybody wants to, well, I have no reason for us to go into executive session. Okay. Moving right along.
We should have ordered breakfast.
You're right. Okay, the budget. It is up for third and final reading. Were there any changes from last time, Tasha?
Actually, there were two changes. The first is on page 3. We added in the buyout, the annual leave payout for Dr. Bradley.
Yeah, does everybody understand that? Wayne is eligible for 60 days.
60 days by contract.
By contract to sell back 60 days of his annual leave. I think you've got 80 days?
Yeah, 88. Yeah.
88, okay.
It's on page 3 of 11. It's shaded in
But which number, which one is it? I'm trying to.
Well, the first line is the actual salary line.
Right.
And, of course, retirement, Social Security, and workers' compensation. Those numbers would change as well because the salary number changed.
But where is the number, or is that built into that?
It is.
Oh, okay, okay. So there's not a separate line item for that. Okay, okay. Okay. Any questions about that? Okay, go ahead. Any other changes?
Second change is on page 5 of 11, the open position. It did say general counsel. It was changed to say open position.
Questions about that?
Does that have that second smaller line item later on?
It does. It's on page.
It was 11 of 11.
11.
Last time.
Okay. It's been changed on there as well.
And what is that?
The same change, just changing that position to say open position.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because part of that salary would be paid out of federal money.
Now that was the one we had so much discussion about last time.
Our plans, that would be in Dana's area, and our plans are to change that to a coordinator of what's the term we're using? Compliance? Coordinator of compliance, and that's going to be crucial for us in the summer. So we'd like to go ahead and add that position. That's replacing Tracy. And so if somebody comes on or we announce the finalists, we could delay a bit to fill that position to work with them. So,
okay.
But since it's going to be reporting directly to Dana, I felt like it was okay to go ahead and fill that position. And it's such a crucial position for us.
Any questions, discussion about that?
I don't have a question about that, and I'm honestly.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just starting to go over on it.
Right.
The first thing that just jumped out at me, and I'm sure there's a very easy explanation, is that 50% increase for the superintendent is that just market driven?
Where is that?
It's on page 3 of 11.
Actually, there are three things in that number. I could separate them out if you wanted to. But the first thing is for Dr. Brazel's salary through December. And the second thing is some additional money for the new superintendent.
Yeah. We didn't know what the salary would be for the new superintendent, so we guesstimated that. So.
Yeah, actually, we'll discuss that more thoroughly. But I wanted to get through this open position first, and we'll go back to that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So those two items plus the buyback of the 60 days vacation are included in that number?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. No discussion on the open position? And it's open position here, but you're saying it's going to be a...
We would like, and I sent that out in the email, mm-hmm. That would be our recommendation.
Okay.
That would be a non... council position and be a coordinator position.
Okay. Then let's go back then to the superintendent thing because we may need to amend that even further. We are thinking that there are at least reasonable odds that someone, our process as far as the superintendent search is moving more quickly than not that we'd hoped, we're glad it is, but we'd given ourselves, as y'all know, a good bit of time. So we're thinking that someone could come on in mid-fall. If that's the case, then it's going to take more money than we've got in here. And there would be some good reasons, we think, possibly for doing that. Wayne and I talked about it, and he has no problem with it. So I'm not sure how we go about putting money in the budget that we don't know exactly. See, obviously no offers have been made yet. We don't know exactly how much it might be or exactly how much how long it may be needed.
It sounds as if it might be needed. Whatever the amount is, it sounds like it might be needed, like, for the last, well, I'm thinking annual as opposed to fiscal, but for at least about a quarter.
Well, not at least, but as much as a quarter.
Yeah.
As much as a quarter. Certainly no more than that. But anybody got any suggestions? You don't have to spend money if you put it in the budget.
That's right.
I'm having a hard time following what the problem is. I mean, if we anticipate the salary for the maximum amount of time, we just put that in the budget, and because it's there.
Doesn't mean we have to spend. Okay, I mean, as long as everybody is okay with that. Okay.
You want us to add a quarter to that budget figure? We could do that.
You only added, if I remember right, you added
6 months. Well, it was about, I'm not exactly sure what it was, but we used just a figure.
But you're talking about to cover Wayne.
No, we added enough money to cover the new superintendent at a more than I'm being paid right now for half a year. So that's built in there.
Along with you.
Right.
Okay, then we're okay. We're okay. I didn't understand what we've done. We had that conversation.
Yeah, it may require an adjustment later on. If a superintendent does come in and say October, then there's not enough money probably to get that person to the end of the year.
Well, that's a quarter.
That's what I'm saying.
We've only got to depend on what the salary figure is.
Yeah, I know, and we don't know that. Yeah. Well, how much did we put in there for that?
Yeah,
not just for the
for 6 months
for
with everything, for including benefits and all. My recommendation would be to just raise that to 200,000.
That was our original figure,
right?
Yeah.
So that would be adding, I think, about $75,000 to that.
So you want to take
225?
Hold on, let me just do a bit of math here. Okay. I want to make sure.
Make it go up to $300,000 in that. And again, that has no impact on your negotiation with the new superintendent. If it's not spent, it's not spent. So, since this is the third reading of the budget, this is the final reading of the budget.
Yeah, that's right. That's the reason we need to. Okay, so how much did you add?
I think if we bump that up to $300,000, that would cover it.
Yes, you're right. That'd be fine. That should be more. I think. And I'm sure.
Tasha, you're looking perplexed. Does that make sense?
Okay. I tell you what would be handy, I think, if we could have the superintendent maybe broken out so we know how much is for vacation, buying the days back. Okay. And then I guess that's the only breakout we really need. Would that help y'all?
Well, we wouldn't want to do that on the budget document.
Not necessarily. I just like to see those numbers.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So can you do that? Can you just furnish us that? Just shoot us an email or something. Okay. Okay, so then we need a motion to amend this, that number on line item 100 to 32, 110, and increase it by $75,000.
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded to increase the line item for the superintendent from 225,500 to 300,500. Any discussion?
I just happen to think that will change something on the other end, too. Where will we take it from?
That was my question. Where's it going to come from?
Social Security and workers' compensation. Those numbers are going to change.
Yeah, those numbers are going to change, but should we just take that out of the fund balance?
What is the fund balance?
Tasha, was a little over $1 million.
The current year is a little over 700,000 right now, and for the year right now is a little over 2 million. But some of those funds is because an error was done with our reporting for the 135th day, so it's a possibility we ought to be sending that back to the State Department. So I would say it's roughly maybe 1.7 million.
Is there a requirement that fund balance has to be a certain percentage?
Yeah. It has to be six months operating.
And that would be.
And
I think we're about at 8 months.
Yeah.
So we do have it in fund balance.
Yes.
It wouldn't negatively affect.
No, it would not require you to report to us that we're below the fund balance. No. Yeah, I had thought that through. No. So is that okay with everybody?
So in order to have the funding to increase the line item, which we just increased, we would withdraw that amount.
The funds will come out. That should be in the motion, that the funds would come out of the fund balance. Okay. So the motion
I'll amend Betty's motion then to include that the funds should come from our fund balance.
Okay. Any discussion on that?
Just a question. Have we had the audited enrollment figures?
I'm sorry.
The audited, it used to be.
The 135th day report. Yeah. I don't think it's been finally cleared yet, but the 135th day, we've submitted it, but I don't know if it's clear.
We started receiving funding for the 135th day in May, are you talking about like the State Department coming and doing an audit?
They used to audit our numbers and determine whether we owe the money back.
But again, we've increased enrollment just about everywhere, so I think we're in good shape with enrollment numbers. We're up, but the 135-day report has been sent in, so. In fact, it's just the opposite. They've sent us more money than we think we're entitled to. And we were holding that money because we figured they'll ask for it back sooner or later. Right now, they just said keep it.
Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion on the amendment, which is to take the money out of the fund balance?
I didn't hear who seconded the amendment.
Okay. Okay, so all in favor of the amendment, then please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay, now is there any discussion on the full motion? If not, then all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay. Okay. Anything else that we need to know about, any changes from the last time that we haven't discussed?
Just on, in order to make the changes that we did discuss on page 7 of 11, some funds were moved from technology equipment.
Right.
Make those changes. And that the public notice was placed in the state newspaper on May 23rd.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Discussion then? Any further discussion? Questions? Okay, if not, all in favor of the budget as amended, and this is third and final reading, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah. You get the rest of the year off, right?
Mr. Chairman, I take it that was your motion to approve the third reading?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll make myself a second.
Okay. Okay, Wayne, you had the Early Career Academy charter extension.
You remember, the Early Career Academy was approved really late, and they were working with IT&T, or ITT, in Greenville to open up, and we thought they were well on the way, but I think I let you know a month or so ago, I got called up to meet with them, and a huge disagreement direct that was developing between ITT and the planning committee. And so they basically have broken off with each other, more the planning committee than ITT. ITT had already architecturally had the building worked with the Office of School Facilities, but the bottom line is they've come, the planning committee, and they have the charter, has come to us and asked for a year delay. I need to caution you in this, and Dana, Mike, you've worked more closely with them, but this charter application was approved using the facilities and the curriculum for ITT. Change now and dropping ITT means this group has to have a whole new facility search. Their charter now has a whole new curriculum set up. So they plan to, the agreement allows them to delay a year contractually. However, this is a little bit different in that they would have to severely, significantly amend their charter. So I just wanted you to let you know that going in, you would have to, even though the contract allows them to come before you and ask for a year delay, and we've approved other schools delaying for a year and opening, which is sometimes not a bad idea. But this is a little different than any we've brought to you before. I think, Dana, would you agree that this is more significant in the change than any we've ever had? So with that, they have, their board did ask for a year delay. They have submitted that to Dana as an official request. So that's why it's on the agenda. So I'll be glad to answer any questions, but the group is asking for a year delay in opening.
Is there a staff recommendation in regards to the request?
You know, I gotta be honest with you. I have a tough time recommending. We've done it to other schools, but this is more significant than just a delay. This is a complete change in curriculum. They have no facility. We don't know where they're going to be located.
This is a different school.
Yeah.
It's not the charter that we approved.
No, it's not even close to the charter you approved. So,
Wayne, is this the school that I did not vote on?
Mm-hmm. You did.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes.
And are you not?
I know the sound of that satisfaction.
Yeah. So, out of fairness to them, I'm recommending with grave reservations. Dana, help me here.
You know, the board chair, they were considering just doing a voluntary surrendering of the charter. They know that they are going to have to make significant material revisions to it since the relationship with, since the EMO and the board decided to part ways. I was surprised that the board decided to request a one-year extension rather than start scratch. But that is the request that they have asked that we put before you.
Here's my recommendation. I can't recommend this school be given another year. I think they should lose their charter and reapply. It is a different school. I'm trying to be fair, but at the same time, I got to protect the district, and they're going to have a tough time. They're in a total disarray right now. So
I have a question. Even if they weren't requesting an extension, but were parting ways with the EMO, just that seems to me is a violation. I mean, it's no longer the charter.
Yeah, it would require a significant amendment.
That's a material change.
In
a big way.
Yeah.
So
okay. I'll recommend that we deny the request.
And I'll second it.
Okay, so moved and seconded. Any discussion?
The denial for the extension means they've lost their charter.
Well, that's what I was going to make sure of.
Yeah.
It just means we've...
It doesn't mean that.
We denied their request for extension.
Yeah, my fear is, are they going to now try to open early? And, open when they were supposed to? Because they could still do that, right?
Yes, they could.
I don't see how that can happen when they've changed the charter.
Practically speaking, but the opening conditions that they would have to satisfy before they open, and they can't meet those.
For instance, they've already lost their facility now, so they have no facility. They've already missed the deadline for the facility. So not granting the year's extension
has the effect.
All purposes.
Has the effect.
Yes.
Okay.
It's going to be a violation of their charter.
Okay.
And then they'll have to take the appropriate steps.
Okay. Okay.
Unless they surrender.
Right.
And that's what. Okay.
Procedurally, that's what. That's. Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
No, go ahead.
So, procedurally, if you deny the request for the extension, which you don't have to give them, contractually it requires an agreement by both parties. If you don't do that, then they will either have to open on time, pursuant to the terms of their charter, which it appears they cannot do. They have to surrender their charter, or they'll have to go through the revocation process.
Do they understand, Mr. Chairman? Is there a feel that these people understand if they don't get this extension that, in essence, they're going to have to start from scratch again?
That has been discussed.
So they're not blindsided.
They shouldn't be, no. And that was the thing they were actually considering, is just surrendering the charter.
We thought they were going to surrender their charter. That's been discussed. So they knew that was... a possibility in discussion with the staff, that by losing or coming to a disagreement with ITT, they should surrender their... That was our recommendation to them, so they understand that.
That being said, it is like any other organization, there's a learning curve. We have found that many times when we have to take tough actions that you can't imagine why somebody would be blindsided by it, since it's been discussed for months on end. They still say that they were blindsided by it. So that does not inoculate us from them saying they were blindsided by it.
Well, I figured the answer was no, but I just wanted to see if the discussion had been held.
Right.
Just so there is no screaming and wailing and gnashing of teeth.
That's what I'm saying. The question is it legitimate screaming and wailing and gnashing of teeth?
Several years ago, we didn't grant an extension, and they came and appealed, and that was that other group was in the same type shape this one was. So it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't ask to come to the board next month, but they may or may not. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's certainly their prerogative to do that. Any further discussion?
I'm not sure, but that I intend to support the motion of denying the extension. I'm not sure that that doesn't require some additional notice on our part in terms of the expectation that they deliver on the charter as presented. If they've already officially notified us that they can't do that, then that opens a whole series of additional questions, and perhaps additional action that we ought to take. Have they notified us that they cannot deliver on that charter as approved?
Yes, they have notified us that they have separated through a vote by their planning committee with ITT. They no longer.
And so have we notified them that we consider that a material breach of the
Change in their contract.
We have, by communications, I've had numerous communications with the board chair, and he does understand, and their lawyer has been involved, and my understanding was that their lawyer, Eric, as you know, was going to reach out to you, but I don't think you've heard from her, just to clarify, you know, any additional steps. But I do agree, Ron, that what I would anticipate happening is just notifying the school board that the one-year extension has been denied, and therefore they would need to, you know, submit a new charter or deliver on the charter, you know, fulfill the predominant conditions as outlined in the charter that we executed with it.
Right. And the only reason I say that is it looks so everything these days has the potential for litigation, and so I would just...
I would not be surprised if IT doesn't pursue legal action. They invested
Certainly not against us.
Not against us. But they invested a lot of money, and there's planning and implementation money that was being used. A principal had already been hired, so they were pretty far down the road with this. So I had been in communication with the architect who was redesigning the ITT building, so I knew they had hired an architect, plans were drawn up, so they were pretty far down the road. They had already signed a contract with ITT.
What was the straw that broke that camel's back, if you know?
I do know. It was a personnel issue.
Okay.
Enough said?
Yep. Education's a people business, you know?
I support the motion, but suggest also that we protect ourselves legally from being drawn into this entanglement by expressing our expectation that the original charter be delivered on us as approved. The failure to do so voids that charter.
Would you want to express that as an amendment?
No. I think the only thing we need to do formally is reject the extension, but then have staff work with legal staff to craft the proper verbiage to communicate to them.
Mr. Chair, if I could, sure. This is going to, one way or the other, you're going to end up in the same place, mm-hmm. because if this came to you as a material change to the charter, you'd be in the same spot of having to take action that could draw you into this. I think what Dr. Epps is saying is very consistent with what I've talked about with staff, and I think we can take all possible steps that we can to make sure our position's clear and that we do all we can to stay out of any infighting between the EMO and the school as much as we can.
Okay. Yes. As long as everybody's satisfied with that.
I've got one question. Yeah. Have any state funds been extended to this organization?
No, federal funds have.
Are they going to be liable to
That'll be up to the State Department.
Funds?
They aren't through us. My understanding is probably not that money is. There are a number of schools that have gotten planning and implementation money over the years and never opened. It doesn't necessarily, as weird as it sounds, it doesn't necessarily require that they open, and if they don't open, to return the funds. It's set up. And
so
it's called
a risk factor. That's included.
And all of those funds and approval of the funds, distribution of the funds comes to the State Department. We don't have anything at all to do with that, which is kind of weird.
Other discussion, questions? If not, all in favor of the motion, which is to deny the request for a one-year extension on the opening date for Early Career Academy charter school, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay. Dana, you're going to talk about the performance update. And are you going to vote? No, never mind. Just go ahead. You'll answer my question in your presentation.
I hope so.
Yeah. John, while those are being passed around, what does the staff has, and I think some board members helped out, but the staff has created, we need three more.
It's the same.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. It looks the same. I thought there were two separate ones.
Has created a really impressive performance appraisal for the schools, and we've been through quite a rigorous exercise in them developing it and then going through it with the board. And so this is something kind of new, this formal. I know, do you agree, Dana? Yeah, and impressive. And so this is our first go around with actually hearing the results of doing this.
And I'm sorry if this is a little confusing. The update that I have for you today, last board meeting I did, Bobby Reichert and I presented an overview of the results of the performance framework, and we can certainly do that again. But what I was prepared or asked by Wayne to do for you today was just give an update on some schools that are kind of on our radar screen. And then, Don, as you mentioned, the performance framework, give you an update as to the responses we've received since we've issued those results. Okay. What I would like to do is get on the board agenda for us to provide the performance standards team to provide you with kind of an analysis of kind of an overall, how did our schools perform financially, how did our schools perform academically and organizationally relative to that framework.
Okay. I'm just off the top of my head, I'm thinking maybe the regularly scheduled July board meeting might be good for that. But that's not a firm commitment.
Okay.
I haven't looked at it.
Neither
looked
at it. Right.
Right.
Yeah. And wait till we get to the process and schedule.
That's right. We're going to pencil you in.
Okay. Fair enough. Starting just in alphabetical order, things that I wanted to make sure you're apprised of, and Wayne and I are in agreement that this would be kind of a standing agenda item just to keep you all in
right.
The room, okay? I think that's obviously very critical. Coastal Leadership, we did issue a letter of noncompliance on May the 4th for special ed concerns, failure to provide services and accommodations, modifications as outlined in students' IEPs. So you can see failure to conduct progress monitoring, issue progress reports, conduct IEP meetings and annual reviews as required. Also, failure to conduct IEP meetings to discuss the potential denial of a free appropriate public education. This is a result of just a major and continuous turnover in special ed coordinator at that school. I think they've had to date maybe 5 individuals. And so it's just accumulated. It's had an impact. And the school, though, has readily, we submitted Becky Davis prepared a corrective action plan. They readily accepted it and are complying with it. Garden City, Kathleen, you had some questions about Garden City. It has, I'm happy to announce, it has cleared its default status by correcting all the outstanding noncompliance and error special education. And we did lift the ban that it had on school enrollment. Now, the school is no longer planning to come to submit an amendment to add grades outside what was outlined in its original contract and charter. It plans to proceed with adding 7th grade, which is what was outlined in the charter. And we're going to continue to monitor them for adherence to federal and state special ed requirements. The district remains very concerned, obviously, about the financial viability and sustainability of the school, given its low and declining enrollment. We also have concerns about the school's plan to incur a sizable loan to secure a new location. And the Office of School Facilities has been involved with that This would be a USDA loan. They have not been approved for the loan, but they have applied for it. So we will be holding a meeting with the board chair and school lead, and I'm thinking that meeting will be scheduled for Monday or Tuesday of next week.
Can I ask a question? How many books do they have on staff?
I know of the executive director, a principal coordinator, special ed coordinator, another lead staff, and then I'm not sure about the number of teachers.
Yes, it's a small staff. It's four teachers, maybe.
But Paul, I could confirm for us.
Has anyone ever met their board?
I have interfaced with them by phone, and then, Bobby, did you attend in person one time, or was that virtually as well?
Virtual conference call.
They have a sophisticated board. I think there's some disconnect between the school leadership and the board. And I say that I think that too often what we find in the charter school world are school leads really running the entire, you know, program. They are managing and overseeing. And when I talk a little bit later about the feedback we have received from the performance framework and sort of the pushback we've received by some school leads that that information is shared with their board is concerning. But the purpose of meeting next week would be to have the board chair and the school lead in the same room and make sure that everyone's hearing the same information and hearing our concerns.
Do we send the report both to the school lead and the board chair?
Yes, simultaneously.
Right.
And made it a point this year to address both the school lead and the board chair in the letter versus just copying the board chair.
Right.
We used to do with the intervention letters, but I've stopped that practice and are addressing those also to the school lead and the board chair.
Okay. And I think I'm right that some school leads are not happy with that.
That's correct.
Right.
Would you like me to go ahead forward with that, or just go
through
this?
No, no, just do this. No more.
Yes, because okay. I do have some feedback.
Okay.
Definitely
okay.
Feedback
okay.
For
okay.
That.
Okay.
And Kathleen, if you need some specifics, I know that enrollment report had 38. So this is a school that, in retrospect, now we have safeguards in place. So next is on this list. We have pre-opening conditions, too, that are very specific to projected enrollment. So on May 15th of this year, Next had to provide to us documentation of the enrollment of students to date. And it had to be 50% of what it's projected. And they met that. But when we analyzed that, we noticed there were some 10th graders, and I had that conversation with the school lead because the charter and contract specify 9th grade.
Mm-hmm.
So we did have the conversation. He knew that his board needed to submit an amendment, and that I plan to bring before you at the next board meeting. They have passed a resolution to add 10th grade. But and they're on target, right? If we had done that a year ago with some of this year's first-year schools, I very much think I would have been before you, or Wayne would have been asking you to delay the school from opening because it had not met that. You know, we had not had confidence in this school's enrollment since before it opened, and unfortunately we're dealing with it now and having to be reactive, but I assure you we are being more proactive than we have had been in the past.
How proactive have we been in the discussions about the potential USDA loan for this school?
Well, I know that our financial analyst, Bobby Rikers, had interaction with the USDA and with the school lead about the loan. And we've also had those communications with the Office of School Facilities. One thing I would like to do is at some point have more communications with the USDA about feasibility studies that are done. You know, we had a conversation with the school lead yesterday about the performance framework. The school lead was very focused on the financial performance results. And I mentioned, and she said, you know, we're really proud. We had this feasibility study. We look great. Academically, I reminded the school lead, you look deplorable. At what point do the folks that do the feasibility study look at your academic performance and also your viability to retain your capacity to retain your charter because you're not performing up to par, right? So there's that risk. So I'm not sure if some lenders readily call Wayne or me, or they might make that call to our finance director and ask, well, what's the compliance history? What's the academic record? I'm very concerned that we've not had any communication.
This is our third USDA loan. We've never been contacted by them asking.
I would like to have some dialogue, and that might be more appropriate for our finance director to do, but definitely have some conversation with them. Because I am concerned, and Eric is our counsel, I've had communications about not wanting to interfere in contracting that our schools get to do. However, when they're at risk of closing, we're talking about public dollars and children that will suffer. And I find it hard to believe that a school with 38 kids can incur a loan to, you know, occupy, I think the plan is a Piggly Wiggly, and make major renovations when we're not sure we don't know what the enrollment is going to be next year and how it's going to pay that loan back, even though it's a low interest loan. But this is a big paradigm shift for our schools. You know, I know we'll continue to get pushback. They'll think that we're getting too intrusive. However, you know, we do need to have oversight. We need to conduct the oversight, and this is a reasonable conversation to have when you're at 38 students and you're incurring a sizable loan and you're talking about new facilities, and it's a pupil-driven, you know, funding formula.
Let me ask this, and Eric, you might be the one to have some input on this. With regard to the USDA loan, I mean, I agree with everything you said about why in the world would they even be considering something like this, especially without talking to us. So it seems to me, though, that our responsibility here is talking to the school to give them advice about the advisability of them taking the loan if they get it. I have some hesitation about us, without being contacted first, contacting the lender. So you weren't talking about that.
No, I was thinking about finding out, and I know Bobby, I requested Bobby to give me a list of things that the USDA, like that, there was a list of things that they're checking for.
An allowable cost.
Yeah, so that was a good thing for us to have to reference, and to have that conversation with the school, like looking at this list, you know, where are you on these things, you know, how reasonable is it to expect that you're going to qualify for this when I look at this lengthy list of 50 items that you need to come to, you know?
Or even, it seems to me it's appropriate for us to say how reasonable it is, even if you can get
the loan
to take it out.
And we have, and our Bobby, as our financial analyst, has had conversations with the school lead in person and has run the financial performance framework, even though it's a first-year school, letting the school lead know this is what your school's performance is looking like. Like if you were a second year school, we issued this today, you would not, I don't believe they would have met any of the indicators.
Well, and that's, I've started conversations, it's not finished, but sat down with the school lead and said if you were a lender and you look at things like debt to service ratios and things like that, even though you may be approved by the lender, normally this is a negative sign that you could sustain that level of debt, especially if you're not generating sufficient income revenue with that declining enrollment from 48 to 38. That's a 20% drop.
Right.
So we need to stop and look at this, and our suggestion is right now is this makes us very nervous that the way your financials look, we need to continue running these and have conversations.
Okay.
I'll say before the bonding company gave York Prep their big loan last year, they call me, and we spend an hour on the phone on a conference call. They ask about academics, long-term survivability. It was very much thorough. I appreciated that approach from them. And again, the fact that USDA has never even bothered to pick up the phone and contact us at all. One of the major complaints that some of these folks have against the performance framework is that it may stop them from getting additional loans.
I assume the PSA bonding folks called and spoke with you, or maybe?
They did.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same group, I think.
It might be.
Yeah. From York Prep.
They even asked for us to place in writing that that the school had been cleared on various issues.
Okay.
Okay, Great Collegiate Academy, members of the performance standards team. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Thank you, Paula.
They're reporting 9 faculty members, well, 4 teachers, 1 administrative assistant and power school operator, 1 shadow, 1 director of operations, 1 executive director, 1 academic director.
Good question.
For 38 children?
Sounds a little top-heavy, doesn't it?
And we've actually, Tasha, can you pull those numbers about salaries in terms of leaders? So we kind of look at that as well. Like, if one thing I was real curious about is looking at performance framework and the performance of the schools and then salaries, you know, of the school leaders. And there is a big disconnect there.
There's not a correlation there.
Right. Well, there may be one. It's just negative.
Yeah.
Thank you. So with Gray, members of the performance standards team have met with school leadership in the district office on 3 occasions. We've conducted 2 site visits that were related to addressing the school's continued noncompliance in the area of student information and state data reporting. The school has undertaken steps to correct its systemic noncompliance. However, the correction has been slow. The school will remain on noncompliance status with us until such time as it's demonstrated correction of all noncompliance and the capacity to enter and maintain student information in an accurate, timely manner.
The school I've been really interested in following, and probably my comment isn't appropriate to this presentation relative to compliance, but they made tremendous promises to this board that I never believed they could deliver on. And I'm just interested in whether or not we're looking at that in relation to their charter. For instance, I had to stop from laughing in a public meeting like that. They said 100% of their students they were going to get scholarships for.
I do remember that.
In the sport that they participated in. Now, the only way you can do that is to select the students that you bring in. I mean, that's the only way you can accomplish that. And at the time, I think I referred to them as an athletic meal.
Right.
And we're seeing, I don't see any result of the promises that they've made, either in their competitiveness at the state level, or, I mean, I just...
I'm interested in progress.
Athletically?
Yeah. Progress towards
yeah.
the...
Yeah, I think they won a couple of tournaments, and I think the basketball...
Not state tournaments.
Yes, I think they did.
They came in 2nd in... Whatever.
Oh, not the final tournament. No, they won a couple of state tournaments. I think they... In fact, I visited a school...
You said they won a couple of state tournaments?
Yeah, volleyball. Their trophy cabinet looks like they're a 10-year school.
I'm not talking about competitive. I'm talking about state-level competition.
High school sanctioned championships.
Yes, yeah. That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, no, they didn't win any championships. So they won that.
Are they 2A or 1A? No, they're outside the system. They're independent this year.
Yeah, so I think they'll become 2A next year. I've not even... Their basketball team has done well, but that's their first year. So I think they potentially could be. But remember, I went to the high school league, said I could care less about what they do athletically. They promised that they could produce dual credit courses, and I think that's what we're looking at. Only 24%, or maybe 24 students, I think, 24 students qualified to take dual credit courses during the fall administration. But to their credit, they really tutored those kids, brought them along, and I think they ended up with over 160 kids who now qualify to take dual credit courses. So they,
but did they get the dual credit? Is my question.
I don't think those numbers, I have them on my desk.
But their
qualifying for the dual credit is one thing, but to actually get the college credit, what they were promised.
And not only that, right now, their record keeping is the worst that we've ever seen with a startup school. So we've been on them as late as last week. We were meeting with them. William has been looking at their data, just saying, we know it's the first year, but they've got to improve their data collection. It's hard to even find out who's in what class. They never had a schedule to start with. So, they have become very much cooperative here in the last couple months after several meetings with them when you almost, for lack of a better term, hit them between the eyes with a 2x4, just saying, this is serious stuff. These are funding streams that have to be documented accurately. So I do think they've made a lot of progress this year, both academically and athletically. I think you're going to see some, and that will not be, as far as I'm concerned, that's not a huge feather in their cap that they can compete athletically. We were concerned more about the promise of the academics, the dual credit courses, the getting associate degrees when most of their students graduate, those kind of things that really concern me. 2 weeks after school started, I visited over there, and their volleyball team had won a state tournament in volleyball. I don't know if it was high school league sanctioned or not, but it was a number of state folks right there.
He's a
I'm intimidated by height anyway, and I took a picture with the girls' volleyball team getting their trophy over there, and they're all like 6'1", 6 feet, so they look athletically over there anyway. So. I think it's an appropriate time. They had their first graduating class. They graduated 31 seniors, and validating their transcripts was not only them, but
all of them get scholarships.
They did have a number of players who've gotten scholarships, but not all athletes have gotten scholarships.
Is this part of Dana's report?
Well, yes. We put this together, and the reason I mention it is that Gray had their first graduating class, and this is just a summary. Dana may well want to hit this at the end if there are any questions. This is just a summary of all of our graduates, since we're going to let you know that Gray had their first graduating class with 31 students. So,
going back to Gray Academy, you know, you've called them in several times. You've had these meetings. You've finally got their attention. What's the next step to take?
If they were not to show dramatic improvement, in my opinion, over the next couple of weeks, I would make the recommendation that we place them on default.
Because, mm-hmm.
Next level of sanction. Impose a sanction. We have talked about requiring them to pay for an audit of every transcript, every student record, because it has taken, William, how many hours of your life in the last few months?
Solid work on this, probably at least 14 days, if you consider 8 hours, 10 hours a day, at least $140, $150.
It's not acceptable. We've spoken about the core values of our district, excellence being one of them. This does not reflect excellence whatsoever. These are students that, if they don't remain there, go to other schools, and then we hear sometimes from the other schools saying, I can't make sense of this transcript. This student is not in the right grade. I mean, it's crazy things that no public school should be able to operate in that fashion. I feel good about the most recent conversation, and that was held with Dr. Compton and William, and we're going to see what happens.
Who was there from Gray?
For that meeting,
the
it was
principal, the guidance counselor, and the Power School Registrar.
And in previous meetings, we've had the executive director, the principal, and the EMO.
Well, I just want to say, it's inexcusable.
Yes,
and
I agree.
And
I would move to the next level when they didn't comply with this. I mean, it's just they've got the staff to do it. This is what they need to do. It's critical for the well-being of the students in the school, for the district as a whole, and it's just simply unexcusable. And there's no explanation for such lack of rectitude.
Well, and I think it gives credibility to those in the traditional public sector who say demeaning things about this whole movement. Because they get these students back. And I mean, students are very mobile. They just move all, they move from public school to public school, from public to private, from private to public. They're all, and schools are notorious for wanting to point their finger and poke at the deficiencies of the other kind of school. Well, this feeds that, and there are a number of things, and I'm interested, I'm glad to hear you say that you're pleased with their performance in the first year, because there are things that are coming back out of the traditional schools that that I don't think help us in saying we have a high standard of expectation of the schools that we are responsible for. So maybe these are untruths.
Oh no, I've dealt with a number of principals that first semester. First semester was a disaster. They misplaced students. They didn't have them in line for graduation. It was about as bad as it could get, and that's why we've put them on notice early on. Second semester was much better, and we've clearly put the expectations for improvement, and we've seen their willingness to work to improve. Even there was no way you could say the first semester wasn't a horrible disaster all the way around. Here's what I also have found, based on emails they've shared with me, to say that high schools don't recruit athletes, all high schools, I got to tell you, there were emails bouncing back and forth with athletes from athletic directors all over the Midlands area relative to kids that transferred in and out of there. And many students came there early on and left. So they had a huge turnover with students that first semester. Second semester was...
But they have effectively almost tripled their initial month's enrollment by the end of the school year. So yeah, that says something. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but, I mean, they have been on a steady incline as far as enrollment goes.
Yeah.
And they're going to be... and there's some safeguards they need to put in place related to that. I won't even go into those things, but I just think the work you all do, this work is so important, and so this is a thing that we can do better than anybody.
Right.
And I think we're doing better than anybody. I don't know of any traditional schools. I don't know of any private schools that are, well, private schools aren't in districts, but I don't know any district that has the ability or that has created the capacity to have this kind of monitoring. I think it's exceptional, and I really want to encourage you not to back off, but to...
No, we have no intention.
Yeah.
And it's Betty was right. It's all about children, and it's you just don't mess up a transcript. You mess up a potential kid's life, and so that's why. But I do think they get it now. They thought we were picking on them, but a lot of first schools think that.
I was just asking about a time frame for to drop the other shoe.
Yeah. Okay.
And it so happens, purely by coincidence, I was part of a conversation about this school not too long ago, and the person from the school said, "It's a madhouse." So, I've heard it from the inside as well as observations, you know, confirmed observations from the outside as well.
I do want to just add, in terms of not backing off, one thing that we've worked hard to do is to message that this isn't personal. I know that one of the first meetings that we had that was called actually by the leader, and I mean, Wayne, you might have just mentioned it, and the EMO was to accuse me of not liking the school and not liking EMOs. And I explained that my job isn't to like or dislike any of our schools. I mean, we don't approve schools. You all do not approve schools coming to the district with the intent of closing them. But we have a mission. We have these core values. I take them seriously. And so when we have these conversations, it's not to punish or embarrass anyone. And that'll be part of the conversation I have about the update of the framework. It really is to protect kids in the public interest and to get all of our schools to that excellence. So that was, you know, I have to keep that in mind. It's not easy being in this position at times because we're not always messaging great outcomes. And we're not communicating to schools, you're, you know, excellent academics, you're doing excellently, you know, doing well financially, organizationally. But I make this promise to you, I will maintain that level of professionalism and persistence in accomplishing that. Wayne did not ask me to be in this position to do any less. So it's not always easy, but I enjoy the work, I really do, and I think we're putting together a great system of oversight. And there is no guarantee for, you know, 100% autonomy. It's autonomy and exchange, accountability and exchange for autonomy. So we will work hard, just keep continuing to strike that a good balance between.
Yeah, one of our schools yesterday said, you really aren't an authorizer, you're just a sponsor, and stay out of our business. And so I think Dana responded very professionally with that, which is sometimes hard to do.
And you heard from another leader this morning that I was a bully, so okay. I've never been called that. That's good. I'm expanding my remit.
Just got a question, please?
Yeah.
Regarding your chart here.
Who put together this?
Courtney.
Courtney, okay.
Thank you. This may happen around the state, it may not, but at least in Beaufort, when we have graduations, be it private schools or public schools, they want to tout their performance. X number of students got X dollars in scholarships, and they're going to Carolina and Clemson and Vanderbilt and Duke and Florida and wherever. Do we keep up with any statistics like that of these graduates, where they're going, scholarships that they're getting, anything like that?
In the past, we've relied on the schools reporting that to us. And at graduation, they typically make that, they share that publicly, mm-hmm. how many thousands of dollars their graduates, mm-hmm. who's going there. I know we've recently had communications. I'm looking at Bobby and Courtney because this is something, Kathleen, I know you were interested in, dual credit earnings, also scholarship monies, and really
and
getting
on-time graduation rate. Right.
Yes, mm-hmm. that we need to pull together in a more systematic fashion.
We are going to ask the schools once. We have one more graduation. That's tomorrow, 11 o'clock. I'll be there. And we're asking the schools to give us the scholarship money. That's never an exact science because you may have one student get scholarship money at four different places, and schools have a way of reporting that. As, and so, but we can give you pretty good figure on that. And especially our virtual schools, just attending graduations over the last 3 years, that has really increased. I'm noticing, for instance, we've got a student from Connections who's gotten a scholarship to Harvard this year. So things are changing there. And I thought we would give you just an upgrade. Whatever we can collect from the schools, we'll do and give it that to you as a handout next board meeting.
Okay, moving quickly along to Thomas Green. School was selected as South Carolina Elementary School of the Year and National Elementary Rookie Finalist by the National Energy Education Development, acronym is NEED. Project Board of Directors for its energy education project. The school's been invited to attend the NEED National Recognition Ceremony in Washington, D.C. later this month. Next High School, I mentioned that briefly a little while ago. It has been complying with all the pre-opening conditions. The Office of School Facilities reported as recently as Monday to me that there's been no issues in terms of the few renovations that are outstanding. They should be open on time. And we will be conducting, as part of our improved pre-opening check, a preparedness visit by mid-July to just verify, actually put our eyes on everything, right? So we're doing like a desk audit now where they're submitting paperwork and that kind of thing, but we will be actually sending a team out there to verify staffing, et cetera. Provost has been awarded advanced ed accreditation. That will become effective July of this year, is my understanding. Quest leadership, members of the performance standards team will be meeting with the board chair and school lead next Tuesday. We have had two meetings that had to be rescheduled due to illnesses, but we will be meeting with them to discuss financial and organizational concerns. They have been issued a letter of caution, you may remember from the update I gave last month, for concerns in those two areas. South Carolina Calvert Academy, members of the performance standards team conducted a comprehensive site visit of the school on May 26th. I should say the office, since it's a virtual school. My understanding, Courtney, the report's been prepared and it's being proofed.
Final drafting.
Okay. And should be issued next week. The team did find that the school was heavily focusing on student-level data, making strides in improving its academic performance. South Carolina Science Academy, the school lead resigned effective June the 5th. We met with the board chair and treasurer just this Tuesday, this week? Is that just?
Last week.
Last week.
Yeah.
Last week. The weeks, just, you know. Can't distinguish between the weeks, but we met with them last Tuesday to discuss management, their plans to hire, financial performance. They're struggling with enrollment. Teacher attrition. A number of teachers resigned. There's been a large dissatisfaction with the school lead. They need to do more than put band-aids on this. We will be closely monitoring that situation. They are submitting a plan of action to us for our review. Lastly, just a performance framework update. On May 21st, we mailed a performance framework summary for the year 2013-2014 to the board chair and building administrator of each school in our district that was 2 years or older, and the summary was in the form of a school performance profile that Courtney had designed. The cover letter accompanying the summary message that 2013-2014 was a pilot year for the framework. The framework helps the district take multiple factors into account when evaluating its school's performance. The framework is a dynamic process subject to ongoing revision, and the district would continue to work on the implementation of the framework and use feedback from its schools to continuously improve it. In addition, the very next day, I sent an email to all the school leads letting them know that those results were forthcoming and that the school leads and staff would have an opportunity to provide additional information during follow-up communications, including contextual information that may impact their results. So to date, a total, this was mailed out to 23 schools. A total of 9 schools have contacted us with questions and feedback. 3 of those schools with a very negative, strong dissatisfaction about the results, and all of those 3 focusing on the financial performance. The fact that the results were shared with board chairs before being shared with the school leads, and the fact that the summaries were not disseminated as drafts. We have met with
the
leader.
Is there any reason we can't know who those 3 schools are?
No, there's not.
Well, can we know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I'd be happy to share that. They were East Point, Spartanburg Preparatory, and Royal Live Oaks.
And by the way, they all have, just coincidence, the same financial director, our financial company doing their books.
We've met with the school lead for Royal Live Oaks. We met with Dr. Wicks and Bill Mosier yesterday to answer questions. And Wayne and I was part of that meeting for the first hour. Mm-hmm. The remaining 2 hours, Bobby actually walked them through their audit and the financial framework. And I did come in to check on Bobby.
It appears he made it through.
Yes. And I did hear a conversation that those numbers are good. So I think it was a positive meeting, although contentious at the outstart.
We have a meeting next week with East Point and their
board chair. And then ongoing conversations with Spartanburg Prep. We'll continue to have those conversations. We'll continue to message that this is an evaluation tool designed to help the schools improve and reach excellence, not a tool designed to punish or embarrass them. And we will continue to strategize, you know, regarding the dissemination of the report for next year. We've had a lot of feedback. We've thought about it. Some authorizers. I've not seen a performance framework that goes out to a school with kind of comments from the school, but I'm not opposed to that, like a contextual, you know, like obviously if the ratings are issued and the school is just has just paid down a huge debt, you know, and it's the timing. We can't. But one thing, so that's something we're talking about. But another thing that I'm really wanting to us to do is do either quarterly or at least, if not quarterly, because the staff on kind of in terms of the performance team is not huge, is that we would give them feedback at least twice a year, so there's no surprises. The people who've shared comments were very much involved with the development of the framework, and you know, I have heard everything from, you know, this endangers me with my job to, you know, I may not be asked to give presentations. And I've just had to message, again, the intent is not to single out anyone. It is to share it. Really good information. No one has really attacked it on the accuracy. One has had some issues with an enrollment number, but unbeknownst to us, they didn't roll out something, or, you know, and so the numbers were different, and we'll make that revision. But, Bobby?
Can I just add also, the questions for the three schools, it was a snapshot of 2013-14 using their audit from last year, and we're following up stating that that information may change with follow-up information. Your finances may have improved, but just to add the other side of this, beside those concerns, we have had at least three schools that mentioned when they had concerns that they didn't meet in those financial indicators. After we walked them through that, oh, and this is based on 2013-14, that makes sense at that time. Mm-hmm.
And if I might mention this, just so everybody knows, Spartanburg, his board chair, right? Yeah, board chair.
All right.
Emailed me with a pretty strongly worded complaint, and what was interesting to me was I thought the evaluation was a very positive. In fact, I wrote him back and congratulated him on his evaluation, and thought it was good. But I've always been struck, for as long as I've been in a management role, how many people complain when you show them something like this? Well, gosh, you just hit me between the eyes with this. And I didn't say this in this letter, but I think I was pretty diplomatic. But in a personal situation, I ask people, can you tell me how you tell somebody something the first time without telling it to them the first time? Whatever the first time is, you give somebody some news, it's the first time. And so it has to be news. I mean, it's the first time. How do you do it? And I think that's the reactions I saw was people, I think they're basically upset that they're actually being evaluated.
Yes.
I think that is what's going on. And you know, they had a couple of legitimate points to make, but and that was fine. So you make those points and you put a footnote in. I don't know how you're going to handle those things. But what I read was kind of, how dare you?
Right. Right, and I think we have received pushback that we're an LEA and that we're supposed to provide support. The support is, we also have to obviously ensure accountability.
Right.
We're a sponsor and also an advisor.
Well, support also involves helping you see things, maybe you're not seeing.
Right, that is support.
That's right.
This whole document is a technical assistance document. That's what it's for.
And we messaged that, Wayne, you did in the letter, the cover letter, that it was to drive and improve, you know, technical assistance, inform technical assistance, help us target those areas, help schools, you know, improve, and help us.
And that's why I made the statement that, I mean, you're going to get beat down and beat down and beat down, and you're going to, it's going to get to the point you're going to say, "Is maybe I ought to modify this, make it softer." And the answer is no, you shouldn't. People, you can give, on a Likert scale, you could give people all fives and give them one, two, or three, and they're going to go to that two or three. They're not going to see all those fives. They're going to go to that two or three. But nonetheless, and one of the problems we have in education is we say everybody is at least average. Well, that's not true. Everybody isn't at least average. So then you get ready to fire someone, and you can't fire them because you've never pointed out their deficits.
Right.
And they take you to court and sue you and win. But so I just...
That's like personal experience.
How do you know?
You read about that somewhere.
Yeah, I read about that. But, you know, one thing that might help is you said you're thinking about maybe two doing this twice instead of the one.
Right.
Maybe if the first one went only to the leadership. Mm-hmm. Because the one risk of this is it does draw the board into operations. And we as a board have worked real hard at trying to stay out. Our superintendent might have a different assessment of this, but we try to stay out of operations to the degree that we can. But the local boards, it's even more difficult for them because they have constituents that are trying to draw them into operations. And so maybe if the first report went to the leadership and the second report went to the board. I don't know. I just don't want you to lighten up, and I don't want you to get discouraged because no one is saying, "Hey, this is great. This is going to help me." What's going to help them, whether they admit it or not? Because
I'm going to dissent with that.
Yeah,
because
too.
As you know, one of the main.
You're going to dissent with what?
With not giving it to the board.
Because.
One of the main things that we're finding a problem with and that I think we're trying to really address hard, and we talked about it during the performance framework, the governance is a hard thing to measure. In fact, it's not quantifiable as such. But I agree with you that the temptation is going to be to draw the board into things they shouldn't be. I agree with that wholeheartedly. On the other hand, lots of times the problem is the leadership is hiding stuff from the board. And the longer we are complicit in that, then to me the worse it becomes when they do finally find out. And so I don't know. I'm not sure.
Early on, we only sent information to leaders, asking them to share. And we did, when we brought board members in, we found out most of the time it wasn't shared or was shared in piecemeal. And so the board members early on ask us if anything that we send to the principal of any major significance that be sent to them also. So it's responding in kind to requests from board members early on in the process. So,
and that's reflected in my review of the school's board's minutes.
That
they aren't
sharing.
Yeah, they aren't sharing. And while governance may indeed be hard to measure or quantify, I've found the best way that I can to do it, which is just reading the school's minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And each of the ones that Dana mentioned today, there's essentially zero information in the minutes of any significance. It's all chatty and You know, either that or there's no minutes to start with.
Yeah, and it's real easy for the school leader. It's real easy for the information not to get the school lead in trouble if they're sharing what they should be sharing with their boards anyway.
I agree with both of you. If you have well-trained, capable boards, but all of us know that it is hard to. I asked you to do a board training for me.
Right.
And what you saw.
Oh yeah, I know.
Is what.
is what
is all over the state.
I know it. I know it. And so, that's a problem.
But I agree with you. If we have well-trained, highly skilled boards who understand how organizations function. But anyway.
But if we don't, to me, that's almost like the USDA thing. We can't take responsibility for how well. Well, we can help train the board, but we can't take responsibility for how well they function. But the fact that they're not functioning well doesn't seem to me to be a good reason not to do this, not to give this to them.
Oh, I'm not saying don't give it to them. I'm saying if you add another, she's contemplating adding right. another report.
Right.
And I'm saying give the first report to the staff.
Do you mean give it to them a week early, or do you mean give it to them to the exclusion of?
To the exclusion of.
Okay.
And then give the second report to the leadership and the board. I mean,
is that by way of measuring progress that the staff has accomplished?
No, it's a way of giving the staff an opportunity to address the deficiencies.
Before, to make some progress, yeah.
Before, because the other thing, and I was wanting to be politically correct, but the other thing, boards add to the dysfunction.
Sure.
And so.
And yet there are some indicators in the framework that are solely within the control of that board. Mm-hmm. So the staff couldn't. You know, fix it for the board. So there's the benefit in the board getting it at those junctures. So if we did quarterly reviews or semi-annual review, I do see a lot of value in the board getting it as well, because that's a feedback to them.
Well, if you do, then I do, because I, again, my organ, I'll listen
Thank
to you,
you,
I won't listen to
that's good enough for me.
But the fact is, I just think this is so valuable that whatever needs to be done to enhance the value, and you're on the front line, so if you say that, I
was just sitting here thinking, you and I are having, our discussion is an example of getting involved with staff work.
Right.
So we both ought to back off and let them do their jobs.
Yeah. If I could make one final comment about the finance part of this, the group in yesterday said, you can't really deal with us negatively on finance because we had an audit. I reminded that group that MLD had an audit too and got an all clear. So I said, I have to look legislators in the face and tell them that we are making financial changes and evaluating schools based on the problems we had at MLD. And we need to look at finances six ways to Sunday. And just because you have a clear audit doesn't mean there aren't problems. An audit's pretty easy to get through, quite honestly, in many situations. But anyway, that's we're really paying attention to finance a lot of different ways right now to make sure that whatever happened at MLD, there's less likelihood that it could ever happen again.
And how frequently do the schools report their financial status to us over the course of the year?
Well, we get
a monthly
report every, in terms of distribution of finances and those kind of things. Tasha?
Well, we get a copy of their annual audit. They've entered data into our system on a monthly basis. That's the requirement, but we're still working on cleaning it up to make sure it's usable.
And that's where the financial analyst position is really starting to pay off, is really looking at that data and following on a basis. And red flags, for instance, there were a couple red flags with the group we met with yesterday, and I said, these are questions that probably wouldn't have come up if we hadn't really started paying attention to the details. And I said, maybe they were fine, but they're red flags, and we need answers for these things. So,
who enters the data? Is it, say, a CPA firm that's doing the...
It depends on who their finance person is.
Or is it a business person within the school that...
It could be either one. Or it could be just a bookkeeper.
And the assumption, I assume it's the information coming from balance sheet and income statement?
It should be. It's supposed to mirror what's in their system.
So the assumption is it's coming from whatever their accounting firm gave.
And the charter school law requires that they keep the same kind of financial records that a traditional school district and school would keep.
Okay. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. Is there any other changes in heads of schools other than the one you mentioned here that we know of?
Changes in
principals, heads of schools.
Yeah, Bridges has appointed a new...
Yeah. I've already reached out to him. We have a meeting at the end of the month. So I was impressed by at least the contact we made by email. So. East Point's already hired somebody. Yeah. They're transitioning. Renee Matthews is staying on as a consultant, but July 1st, a new principal there takes over.
But those are the only ones that we're aware of?
She's staying on as a consultant for how long?
Till December.
December, I think.
I won't go there.
No.
It's early in the year. I would be shocked if there's not another change or two. That's just the nature of the beast anywhere. So, but I don't anticipate. Oh, well, in a way, there is a change. York Prep, we're down to two finalists for their managing director, and neither one of them worked out. So they have hired Brian Carpenter to stay on for a couple months.
Really?
As a an interim, yeah. And not that it matters, but that's being paid for by a board member. So.
Leadership there now? He's in leadership?
He's in leadership. He doesn't want to be labeled as an interim, but he's a consultant.
I've met him before.
Yeah. And based on, we met with him Tuesday. I've met with him many times. I think it's actually not bad because he's making decisions that should have been made that nobody had the guts to make. And so it's actually, on paper, it seems to be working out really well. He presented to us, the whole staff, his organizational chart, and then...
also provided some free governance training for us, which was very helpful.
That's the only other change I know of right now. They've reopened their search. They hope to bring somebody in probably September, October.
Do we have access to principals' evaluations?
You know, it's one of the indicators that we have to have proof that it's been done. You know, we've started having conversations about, like, if it's done, just to check a box, but it's not comprehensive or it's not, it's a one-pager and it's, you know, so we've talked about, like, do we want to get into the weeds and actually examine it.
I get queasy about that.
Yeah, I do too. So I think right now it's just we need some documentation for next year. It's not one of the, a number of the organizational indicators, as you all know, when I did the presentation last month, Bobby and I did, we didn't report out on because we just didn't know. We weren't tracking it. But that would be one that we need to figure out a way. They have to document when the evaluation occurred.
Okay. Thank you.
Good discussion.
The update on the search will be brief. And as a part of that, I just want to mention something for y'all to be thinking about. This isn't an action item now. It's one of those things that I think all of us, including the three of us on the search committee, are thinking about and would like the full board to think about. And that is, When you go through this exercise, it makes you really think about the whole organization and what do we do and what are we supposed to do and everything. And we haven't taken a vote on this, but I think I've got y'all tell me if one of y'all disagrees with what I'm fixing to say. But I think we're at least have a consensus that we ought to think about if superintendent is the right title for the person who leads this organization. And that's not a huge deal, but the thing that we keep coming face to face with is this job, Wayne's job, is not in any traditional sense a superintendent's job. It's the autonomy of these schools. It means that he can't do a lot of the things, or whoever's sitting in this role, that you could do at a traditional school district. And so it requires a different, and I'm amazed, the more we go through what we're doing, the more I'm amazed at how quickly and well Wayne morphed and transitioned. It's a different kind of management. I mean, he and I have not had this conversation, but would you agree? I mean, it's just a whole different style.
One example, I would have fired immediately three of the principals of schools that I inherited here.
Right.
No doubt. They wouldn't have lasted a month. But I had that. That's not my job here.
Right.
I don't get involved in the day-to-day operation of student management or personnel matters.
Right. So anyway, the nature of this job is really different. And if you look around the country for authorizers, most of them do not call the head of the organization superintendent. It's anything from executive director to CEO or you name it. But I'm not so sure that we wouldn't be doing ourselves a long-term favor to begin to let that be one small way in which we educate all of our, I hate this word, but I'm going to use it. First time I've ever used this word except to denigrate it. And that is all of our stakeholders. I can't even believe I'm saying it. I hate that term. But anyway, the legislators and the general public and the schools themselves and everybody, if we come up with a better or different title so that it says we recognize that this person in this job can't fire superintendents now, but we also recognize they've got a whole different job to do. An authorizer... we've been going through trying to be better authorizers, and an authorizer is not a school district. You know, it can be, but so anyway, I'd just like you all to be thinking about that.
Yeah, I'd like to, because there are pros and cons. We've actually talked about this as a staff, and I think it deserves to be an agenda item, and let's talk through it.
Right.
Because I would agree with you. In fact, Betty knows Steve Hefner, and Steve is a superintendent in Lexington, Richland 5 right now, but Steve's been a good friend for a long time. And one day, Steve said, how is your job differently? I said, well, I have no cheerleaders, no football players, no buses, no food service. He said, what do you do all day? So it is totally, I said, I work with the legislator sometimes on a daily basis. So
right.
It is different, but there have been... We have been able to improve the image of the district in terms of fitting in with the other superintendents. Mm. So in a way, it's helped, but we may have grown beyond that.
That's what I'm wondering.
And so I think it's certainly worthy of a discussion, mm-hmm. and it should be an agenda item to really look at the pros and cons. And it's the right time, obviously, to start looking at that. So.
Okay.
Some of you know that I served as a consultant to the Michigan Education Achievement Authority, which is Michigan's equivalent of what we are. And when the governor first got statutory authority for that entity, he called a group together, and I was there just as an observer and a consultant, not to make the decision. Mm-hmm. But we had that was the exact discussion. It was primarily, it's interesting that that came from you because it was primarily business people around that and politicians around the table. And they came to the conclusion that they wanted to call their equivalent, I think I introduced you to
them. You did.
They wanted to call their equivalent chancellor. Wayne is very astute because it had an unintended consequence, and we're not having that discussion now, so I won't go into that. But I think it's a good discussion to have, and I think it's being had. And it was a discussion they had in Tennessee. It's a discussion they had in other places. In
Louisiana,
And
I'm saying that with no prejudice, one way or the other, except that as we look, even looking at candidates, and even talking to potential candidates and everything, the job just isn't a superintendent's job. You know, it's going to require somebody to do a lot of different things than a normal superintendent does. And so maybe it doesn't matter what you call it, I don't know, but it's worthy of our discussion at a different date, not now, it's not on the agenda.
I do hope, if we're going to do that, I hope we do it before we move too far along the line of the selection process.
Yeah, I agree, and so it probably ought to come up at the next. You know, y'all be thinking about it. Yeah.
Is that an issue that ultimately the legislature would have to make a change? I don't know that we have the authority.
Well, actually, Eric and I did discuss that before this meeting, and Eric's of the opinion that other than, and again, correct me if I'm mistaken, I don't have a law degree, but that other than some official documents that may have to be signed as superintendent, that we can pretty much call them what we want to, as long as we pass a resolution or something. Is that a good synopsis?
We will make it so.
Right. Okay. And then later, we may want to say to the legislature, by the way, here's what we're, you may want to change your wording, but that would not keep us from doing what we want to do. But that was one of the questions I had. But that leads us into, I'll just tell you that, We are pretty far down the road at being able to name finalists.
That's great. Yeah, we've been working hard.
We have been working hard. I want to tell you. These two have it's amazing how much has gotten done, and the committee has been great. I'm amazed at kind of how single-minded we've been, if that's the right term. There has not been much space between us on any issue. We've talked about a lot of stuff, and we've been amazingly together. I would like for us, we've got some process still to go through to be able to name the finalists. But we're working through that now. I can assure you that one of the things is we're working through is getting set up with a company that anybody who gets presented to the board will have been very completely vetted by a company that does background checks, and I mean really completely. One of the things we don't want to do is be embarrassed a month after we do something. And so that's taken a little bit of time, but if we could look at our calendars, because let me look at the calendar to get that. I think starting the week of the 29th of this month that we will be prepared, that we will be at a place where we will have finalists for the board to interview. There's only two days in that week, so it's really the beginning of that week that includes the 1st of July, and I know that week is July 4th, and people, I don't know. But what would be good is if we could come up with maybe three dates that we could all get together, and I know we've got several board members who are not here, but we can't. If they're not here, they're not here. I'll run them by them too. But to potential days to set up interviews.
And you anticipate us interviewing three or five?
Our goal is to come bring you two.
Okay. Two? Okay, 15 is better.
Yeah. And there are reasons for that. We could bring more, but, you know, but we'll see. So what's July look like for y'all? We've got a meeting on the 9th. Now, are there any hearings on the 9th schedule?
Oh, yeah. There are two scheduled every meeting.
So what that might mean is that we need to have a two-day meeting. Or either just a separate meeting sometime, you know, I'm just, you know, where everybody drives in just for that day.
Well, since we're here on, did you say the 9th, 9th, mm-hmm. 25th?
Yeah. We're on the 25th, but that won't work. I know that won't work.
And I go in for my next knee surgery on the 23rd.
Of what?
Of July.
So before the end of July, then?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You and I talked about that, didn't we? Yeah, so I would suggest if we could do it sometime between the 29th of June and, you know, that early that week of Ron's surgery, which means you won't be here on the 30th for that hearing. Okay. Is that why you scheduled it on the 23rd?
Wait, are we talking June or July?
I'm talking about July now.
Okay, that's my thought. All right. Well, our meetings are the 9th and the 25th.
No, no, the 25th is on June.
June
25th.
So this was a mistake on my part, and I was going to get to it in the next agenda item. The schedule the board approved put that last July meeting actually a week after what I thought it was. I thought the schedule that had been approved was our regularly scheduled board meeting, and then exactly 2 weeks later.
It was the 30th.
Right. So I did want to.
Okay,
some people might have been under the impression that the 23rd is technically scheduled.
Okay.
The 30th.
Yeah, we put on the report if the 23rd worked better than the 30th, we're okay with either date. But the 30th is a date.
Yeah, that's
that
what everybody's got.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Right,
well, what about the 8th?
July.
I don't know. Is a 2 day meeting out of the question for you? And you coming on like this, I know it's, you know, we're kind of used to that.
That may be a little difficult for me, but is it possible to phone in?
Yeah, but this would be for candidate interviews.
Oh, okay. So it'd be one a day.
On the 9th, we have.
That's your regular meeting.
Yeah, and we have hearings.
Two applications.
I see.
When we have in the summers when we have our hearings, and that's the reason we're having two meetings a month during the summer, because we don't have to have that many hearings. So the 9th, we couldn't do it just because of the hearings.
Yeah.
The 8th or the 10th?
I'm trying to think. Okay. Somebody asked me if it took all day. I think you need to allow at least 2 hours for the interview. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think if there's a lot of questions and all.
Yeah.
So I think trying to do two in an afternoon just couldn't. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could.
How long do the hearings normally last?
The hearings normally last a couple hours.
Yeah, each.
Each. And to be honest with you, three a day is a hard day.
I was going to say, that seems like
that's a hard day. Yeah, because the hearings are, you have to think a lot of them.
And you have to read so much before.
And for most of the board members, that's not a problem. But for the chair, it's really stressful to think that hard that long. And so we've discovered that due to limitations in that end of the thing, that two a day is all we can do. Yeah. And I think two interviews, frankly, in a day is pretty much it to give, you know. And we may end up having to have more days than that. But let's right now focus on coming up with a day for interviews.
What?
So can the 8th, can people do it on the 8th?
I mean, July 8th?
Yeah.
July 8th, Wednesday, July
8th. And I just, you know, I had to remind that the hearings are important. This decision is the most important decision we're going to make for the next few years, hopefully. So I mean, it's just what it is. So
I'm good on the 8th. And we just do a, you know, an overnight and do, have two hearings the next day?
Right.
That's fine with me. But I have probably the most flexible calendar of anybody here, so y'all go ahead. Pick.
Can you do that? As I say, we'll just, you know, just.
And then we have other people.
Well, we do.
Okay.
You mean they're on here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, the problem is.
I understand.
Yeah.
We just send it out. I mean, right. Do we have a second choice in case?
We'll swear our bench warrants.
Okay.
Okay. Well, the
and Ann may or may not be official at that point.
I beg your pardon?
Ann may or may not
that's
be official.
Right.
Yeah, that's
now,
right.
Now, Olivia did say that she was going to, you know, buttonhole the whoever she needs to buttonhole to get a quorum present in the chamber because they have to take a voice vote
right.
on this thing.
But, yeah, but I was thinking about Laban and Reese. I hadn't thought about her. But anyway, I mean, we could say the 8th or the 9th. I was just thinking that.
Well, we've got hearings on the 9th.
I mean, the 10th.
8 or 10.
But Fridays are just usually harder for people
than.
Yeah, I mean, that's really hard.
I didn't think anyone objected.
No, they didn't. So I'm saying we go with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Now there's one caveat to that, and that is that once we have the finalists selected, that both of them can get here on the 8th.
Yeah.
I mean, but see, there's kind of no way to know that. But I think by that point, I would think somebody would have to be, you know, at their spouse's funeral or something, not to make it. I mean, you know, but it is possible that there could be some.
Okay. What time?
Well, I'm thinking we do one at 10 and one at 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll make a note here.
You're going to make reservations?
Yeah. Okay. Well, not for board members. Board members are on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we going to look at someplace other than?
Yes. Yeah. I'll come up with a venue because we will do that off site, and the interviews will be an executive session. Obviously no deliberations, but just the interviews themselves. And I can tell you this, so we're okay with dates and I'll come up with a place. I can tell you this, I think that based on where we are, that the three of us are excited and excited, we've had over 80 responses, and some really talented people, and so it's given us the ability to put it this way: we're convinced now that of the pool we're working from now, that anybody, obviously, this I guess it goes without saying, but that anybody could do this job and do it well. And now we're trying to get that narrowed down to from there. But there's a lot of interest in this, and there I would tell y'all, you know, really, first of all, and this has come up, people know this, Wayne's a hard act to follow. Everybody knows that this district was in trouble and that Wayne came in and got us stabilized and got our reputation stabilized. And people appreciate that and know that. And it's amazing. Everybody knows that. And I know personally, I never wanted a job where you were following a star. That's just, you know, you don't make a name for yourself doing that. But we're also in the infancy of what we're doing here. And what we've been telling people that we're talking seriously with is that they have the opportunity, and if we think about it, we're talking about ourselves. They have the opportunity to make a major impact on education in the whole state. And that's what's attracting talent to this thing is. There are not many opportunities, I mean, like this in education. You know, Ron, I mean, think about it. You have a district, those jobs are out there, and then you affect a district. And the fact that this is statewide and has that kind of potential, which also means there's a big potential for very kind of make a big splash in the negative way. But that's the way risk and reward goes. But we're excited. We really are excited and are excited to get with y'all with what we finally come up with and get your input. And I think I can say honestly that by the time we get to that point and the whole board does the interviews, that the three of us kind of be happy either way, I think. You know, I mean, we're at that point.
Doug, can I ask this question? Is there a reason you decided on two rather than three? And I'll explain why.
Well, that's not necessarily the case. But you mean that we would like to do?
Is there a reason you're recommending two instead of three?
Well, if we recommend two, that would be.
My reason for asking that is so many times these searches explode at the very end.
You're right.
Because one person pulls out.
You're right.
But they've taken another job or they,
right.
any number of reasons. But I would bet that happens maybe 30% of the time.
Yeah. Right.
You've got two great people. Mm-hmm. One pulls out, so what you have left is is a candidate by default.
Well, not necessarily. But no, I know what you mean. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I want to be careful. But yeah, there is a good reason for that. And it'll be easier to talk about later. I'm really not trying to be coy here. I'm kind of following legal advice.
Okay.
But also, let me tell you, because you're exactly right about what you say, and we've got two people on the committee from the search world, and so I can tell you that my experience is that my experience is over in the other world is that the vast majority of the time that happens is because of really some real mistakes were made in getting those people to the table. And I don't think we're making those mistakes.
Charleston County.
No, I'm talking about in corporate search work. Yeah. I mean, because you're right in that world. Usually, what you're telling will bring you three people. And you know, when I work with clients, I told them, you know, anybody's doing that's not doing the job well. If you hire, and so. Yeah, there are a lot of reasons, but you're right. There is a risk of that, and if that happens, though, that means we may go back to the drawing board. I don't think this board ought to make a decision from one candidate. And so, does that help you any?
Well, it reinforces why I asked the question, because if you have three, you're not stuck with making that
right
with one candidate.
Right.
And the same issue with negotiations, because if I'm negotiating with you and I know what gives me the upper hand and I know what gives you the upper hand in those negotiations. So.
Right. Well, it has been explained very clearly to everybody who got to the, you know, even the telephone process that that we are keeping, as you know, we did not put an expiration date on responding, and that this thing is open until somebody's actually hired, so nobody will be under the illusions that they're the only game in town. I would say we hadn't even talked about this because we think we got that base covered.
Definitely.
But if we ended up where you fear we are, and I would fear that too, I mean, You got to remember, we started this early enough, we got a lot of time. I'd say no, then we just put that on hold and go back to the drawing board if that's where we end up. But I really don't think we're going to end up there. I really don't think we're going to end up there.
Was the question asked of the candidates at a particular point if they're looking at other organizations? That'll tell you.
Actually, it's been more specific than that.
Okay.
We've gotten beyond that. And all, if things can blow up, I will tell you that anybody that comes in to interview the board will have, in strong terms, before they get here, and again, this is from my history in this world. I this is what I've done, did for 30 years. There'll be a commitment on their side. Not just what else are you looking at. That to me, I don't care what it's. What I want to know is this the one? And so, I mean, we're doing everything we can to make sure that anybody who the full board, if we're going to take the full board's time, then our goal is that we already are as sure as you can be sure until you're standing at the altar that this person's going to come to the altar. And Ron, I know you've still got the question on you. I understand.
Well, it'll be answered when you explain why you chose
right.
two instead of three.
Okay. Yeah. Are you all comfortable with what I just said?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not saying more. Okay, so we're going to try to set it up on July the 8th. And before that day, what y'all will get for candidates that we propose, and I'm sorry, I'm thinking two things at once. You will get a complete packet on them, notes from reference checks, notes from interviews, background, clearances, all that. You'll have that, and we'll have it far enough ahead of time to do your, if you want to do other due diligence. And so, there'll be plenty of time to do all that. But I think you'll be, pleased when you interview people.
Have y'all talked about the actual process of a candidate sitting across the table from us and questions that maybe should be asked of each of, I know they won't be sitting across from us at the same time, but some of the same questions should be asked of each of them, and if so, what are they? Have y'all talked about that? Do you want us to submit possible questions?
Since that will be a full, we had a list of questions that as we started talking to people,
okay,
that we made sure, because we didn't each talk to everybody that
yes.
got talked to. And so we had a common list of questions. We could be glad to furnish that to the board, full board.
I find that interesting.
And you could ask them again because you won't have heard the answer. I mean, that's okay. That's the, pretty much everything they get asked, my guess is they were going to have been asked, but that's fine
yeah.
because that's the whole purpose of meeting with the full board. So we'll be glad to give you that. But if the board wants to generate some other questions, that's fine. We also need time to get those questions that nobody else but one board member thought. In other words,
right.
you need time for both. But if y'all want to, I'm trying to think how we go through that process. If there are questions that you want to make sure that each person gets asked, that's what you're saying, right?
That's part of what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay, what
the
else?
The other part is, there's some aspect of the spontaneous, if you will,
right.
In any interview. And I'm assuming we would be free to...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Ask anything you want to ask.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric just went in just out of his chair.
I'm assuming a level of discretion amongst the board members.
That's very kind of you.
Right.
But yeah.
I wouldn't have said that 6 years ago to the board. But I mean, no, this is your opportunity to grow them, and it's also
a level of comfort with
absolutely, and we've told both of them, you know, actually every candidate that that it's their opportunity too. I mean, you know. To say whatever they need to say, nobody we bring to you will be a shrinking violet. But how do we go about then this list of common questions? I guess I'm trying to think how we go about coming up with that. I can send everybody the ones we've got, and then maybe if you want to make another suggestion or something, send it back to me or something. Like that.
I just wondered if, you know, we would have that opportunity.
I think that's the best thing is I will send out what we've got, what we did.
But y'all's common questions.
Common questions.
Okay.
And then
questions in common, probably.
Right. Yeah. And then, if any of y'all have something you would like to see added to that list, why don't you send it to me? And as long as it doesn't get to be, you know, 50 questions where we couldn't do anything else.
Right.
But usually they fall into categories, and so you can distill a lot of comments into 10 questions or something like that.
Okay.
I'll revise the document and send it back out.
Sure.
Okay.
But there will be spontaneous.
Oh,
well, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It just lends itself to...
That's right.
Like, oh, I didn't... Yeah.
Right. Responses bring forth another
sure.
question and so forth.
Yeah.
But I think it will be... a very enjoyable discussion.
I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. We've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
We have. And are kind of anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's all, unless there's more questions or something. Okay, then the hearing process and schedule.
Okay. This is a what we're proposing, and let me tell you, before you look down to August 13th and see there are three of them there, we don't think that will happen exactly like that. First of all, five were submitted July 1st. We've screened those five, almost a full day of really going over those with a fine-tooth comb. Two of those did not have complete applications, so we've already notified them that our recommendation is that they, what's the official term, not be, we actually revoke. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be declined.
Yeah, they're declined because they don't meet the letter of the law. They're missing, in some cases, sections. And one of those is a group already operating a school, and it was a little disappointing that they didn't have a better application. Oh. But on June 25th, we will, those two that you hear, they will not come in for it. They know that we've already recommended that day for letting their charter go forward, but there will not be a hearing as such on that day.
There will be. They can participate in public comment.
That's
there will not be an extended hearing time for them.
So we have to, I don't get this. So we have to actually take action to decline their further progress through the procedure.
Yes, you have to take the board, all the process does is get to the staff recommendation.
Yes.
You as a board still have a decision to make whether you agree with the staff or not. You still have to vote on it whether you approve or decline the application, assuming they don't withdraw it.
Yeah, we thought this would be much cleaner after going through it with Eric. And so they
neither of those two are being recommended? Or one is and one not?
Right, no, both are not being recommended. Both have...
Wait, which two is that? I'm sorry.
On June 25th, Mather Pro Charter and Palmetto School of Energy and Engineering will not, as a staff, recommend that they go forward, that they be declined, that they're...
Are they going to have full hearings?
No.
The reason I say, Don, they're allowed under the statute, every hearing has to be a public hearing.
Right.
Which means that if they want to sign up for public comment, they can do that. That's a public hearing.
Right.
And so I can't guarantee you they're not going to show up and say something in public comment, but there won't be an extended period of time for additional information to be presented about those schools. They will just present in the ordinary course of public comment with the two-minute limitation, and et cetera, if they so choose.
Well, do we need to have a meeting just to do that?
It has to be action taken in the public.
There has to be an action. There has to be an action taken.
But we need to come here and do that. No?
I don't have the schedule in front of me.
It's June 25th.
If those are the only two, as long as we get it within 90 days, we can do it.
And why would we have a special meeting if we
I don't see any reason to.
Unless we need it within the 90 days.
Yeah. Does anybody know when their 90 days runs out?
Well, they turn them in June 1st.
It'll be at the end of August, but you know, I know this is a little bit different than how it's done in years past. Right. And when you looked at that schedule, it would look like you were hearing four schools on one day if we put those on another meeting. So as long as you're all right with that, knowing that it'll be very abridged.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
More than happy to put those on a different day.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. It should be.
If anybody objects to that, we're going to order an examination.
So neither one of these on June 20th, scheduled for June 25th?
Right. Would have a full hearing.
That's it. So we'll
go. So we're saying, are we saying, or are we not, that we will not meet on June 25th?
Then they will be added to the July 9th?
July 9th.
Okay.
Here. Are either the ones on July 9th? Recommended for progress?
Yeah. Oh, they haven't been screened officially. That's why we've delayed them till 9th. But they've passed the first level of screening. They had all the components of their application.
So they're compliant.
Yeah.
Okay. So the only ones that are ready to go, well, as such as it is, are the two on June 25th.
Yeah, and because they're not.
We couldn't move Berkeley and Bettis up to June 25th.
No, we won't have time to have a full.
Okay. Are there any others?
So let me make sure. The meeting on June 25th has been canceled. Those two have been moved to July 9th. We'll let them know that.
Yeah.
And it should be quick. I don't anticipate either one of those showing up, but that doesn't mean they will. I've had conversations with one for sure, and the other was so missing so many things and adherence to the law.
Eric, I know this. I mean, excuse this question, but you're sure that qualifies as here?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we don't get in trouble with that.
No. It just says a public hearing. All of our meetings are public hearings. They provide opportunity for public comment.
I guess our mindset is in a different place. So no, I'm having
it's not a due process requirement.
Okay.
That's a different issue.
Okay.
And we have one school coming in on the 15th. Due by the 15th, could come in earlier, and that's why we put that school on the 30th. Accelerate Academy, and we'll have time to have done all the screening. I anticipate that I'd be shocked if of the eight additional schools coming in, we're on the 15th, seven on the 22nd, I would be shocked if at least one of those we don't recommend based on the initial screening. That's why I think we're probably okay, or quite honestly, they could not turn in a charter. So we don't know what will happen. But although we have three scheduled for the 13th, I'd be shocked if that continues. So, and we'll let you know by the end of the month, we'll know for sure.
And just to make sure nobody's confused, you can scratch out that July 23rd that's sitting there.
Yeah.
It says 23rd. That's not two meetings. That's an either or.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's going to be the 30th, so you can scratch that out. Okay.
And then going forward, we have two on the 27th. And these are interchangeable.
Right.
So the names could change, but at least you know there are two on each two of those days. And as soon, any step of the process where a school drops out or whatever, we will let you know immediately.
Okay.
So you can plan accordingly.
John, is this making sense to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Still not making sense to me, but I'll figure it out. So how about the Montessori school?
Yeah.
Did they meet compliance?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
So far, are those two that we just canceled that meeting, are those the only ones?
Those are the only two
that
so
fall
far
into that category so
that's
far?
That's correct. Okay. Berkeley Palms, Bettis, and Montessori all met the basic requirements for submitting a charter. They had all the components there.
And I know I recognize, like, remind us which of these are ones we've heard before.
Berkeley Palms and Bettis.
Right.
You've heard.
I remember them.
Tall Pines.
Berkeley Palms was the IB school, now an international school.
Okay.
Bettis was the one from Edgefield.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, Berkeley Palms was the one that was. Obviously, those are the ones you crawled all over, right? Yeah. I'm surprised they're coming back.
That's it, you've heard? Yeah. Tall Pine and Bertus.
I tell you, you crawled all over them.
I'll be ready.
I went home and told my wife, this lady, I thought she was the nicest lady.
Oh, and that was nice.
Okay. Okay.
Is the one from Walterboro on here? Commodore?
They changed their name.
Did they?
She's on there.
Is it the International?
No.
Oh, First Choice, wasn't it? I think
they're all running together right now just because they haven't submitted, so I haven't.
I think it's First Choice Academy is the one from Walterboro. I'll find out and let you know for sure, but I'm pretty positive. They've changed their name a couple times.
I should say this, but I'm going to. I wish before they decided what they were going to call their school, they would envision a little child running around with a T-shirt on and what it said. Because some of these names are just.
Oh, yeah.
Would be enough right there for me not want to participate.
Yeah. Or they could all move to Greenville and just pick a color.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. It's just.
But,
I mean, some of these names just aren't conducive to you wanting to be there.
Mm-hmm. Walterboro could call it Battleground School. Mm.
Good.
And interesting, I met with them. They have their meetings in Somerville.
Really?
Yeah. So I said, why don't you have one in Walterboro? That's where your school's got. So I guess.
The lady has
I just show up
yet.
Wherever they ask me to. Where,
okay. Yeah,
the potential principal hadn't moved down
okay.
there yet.
Anything else then with regard to?
No, those would be, and you've got a, we do an initial review, then a full review, and then an interview with the applicant once we get past the first two stages. And then, so we are really making an effort to vet these schools as thoroughly as we can beforehand. One thing I did notice, we actually had an outside reviewer with us the first time because typically we had somebody that was very detailed and in that regard because we've had so many charters turned in with typos and misspellings and run-on sentences and just but we had very little of that this time. They were they took our advice, it appears, and most of them had them well-read for accuracy, but content was missing in some of these. But they looked good on paper, so we didn't have nearly the type of errors that we've seen traditionally.
Do you want to go right on into your superintendent's report?
Yeah, that's very short, if that's okay. And the first one, I've given you the graduation numbers since it looked appropriate to do it with Gray. And we have one more graduation tomorrow. The staff's really filled in when I've had conflicts, and we've had somebody at every graduation, with the exception of one, and I really hate that one, and that's Palmetto Scholars. It was our first graduating class, I think, with 17. I was out of town, and I missed assigning somebody there. So I've been in contact with them and apologized. But overall.
Did Stacy's child graduate? I think the eldest one did.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Still got one there.
Yeah. So, and it wouldn't matter. They'd still be involved. Tomorrow is provost at 11 o'clock, that'll finish out all of our graduations, and almost 1,000 students graduating. In fact, when the summer school's over, we think that we will go over 1,000 students graduating in district, this year. I did want to mention one thing, and I work with Don. You guys have got so much on your plate right now, but we did talk about scheduling a meeting in the Lowcountry in October. I'll still work with...
In fact, that's on my... to talk with you about.
Okay. Start planning. I would hope that we could do that. That might be a good transition month, too.
Right.
And then maybe the new superintendent could come in. So that... And one of our goals this summer, I don't think William's in the room right now, but we are really working hard. One of the things I'd like to leave with you is a good video conferencing model. So we're really working with a couple companies to see what we can do to have all of our meetings done in live video. So and we think we can accomplish that by the end of the fall.
And if, I hate to interrupt, but while it's on my mind, so I can tell John, another thing that you can call in to meetings that is allowed. However, the board did decide, what, 2 or 3 years ago, that on hearings for schools who are applying, that that you have to be present to vote. That's just, once you've been through one, you'll see. It's just not fair to the school not to have that person here, you know, when they vote. And so anyway, so that's the only way that we...
What about regularly scheduled meetings? Can you vote?
On anything, other than hearings. Yeah, right. Okay.
And the just to let you know too, John, if we don't hear these schools, so that's why a quorum for the hearings are so important. If we don't hear the schools within 90 days, they are automatically approved. So it's just crucial. And we've been down to the last week a couple times over the last day. Few years. So it's really crucial to make sure we have a quorum for the hearings that are here. And other than that, one more legislative day, as terms of our budget, we're in good shape. But it's really kind of strange to have our budget approved and the state budget not approved. So things could happen. I don't think they will. I think we're in good shape with that. But I'll be there on the 16th for that last day, just in case something would come up, and hopefully Ann Bull would be approved that day as a board member. But that's not a guarantee, but it looks like that's going to happen. They're working hard to make sure that happens. Okay, that's all I had in my report. Be glad to answer any questions, Jim.
Okay, I have a
couple of questions.
I need to mention something to Kathleen. Yeah, but go ahead.
How many of our schools, I don't know who can answer this, how many of our schools have external accreditation? Especially secondary.
Yeah, I don't know right off the hand, but I think it's five or six do now. That's a good question. We can find that out. If you've got that.
And related to that, is that something we encourage? I know we can't require that. Is that something we...
Not only have we encouraged it, we've offered to help pay for it. So we've actually budgeted for that as a system.
Okay, that's exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
The thing I was going to ask, I think it's extremely beneficial to the graduates more so than to the school. That's why I said primarily secondary school. It's extremely beneficial to the graduates because a lot of issues nationwide are occurring with charter schools that are causing higher ed to do some strange things. And so what I was going to ask is whether or not we could consider in the future budgeting for that, for schools to encourage those schools who want to pursue.
And we have done that. We have really encouraged them to go through advanced ed in addition to the state. And the I got to say, Molly really jumped on this very beginning, Molly Spearman, and has put on their webpage now that charter schools are accredited schools. Charter schools in good standing are accredited schools through the state, so that's helped too. There's never been a year that I've been here that I haven't had an institution of higher education call to question whether or not their students coming from our schools are coming from accredited schools. So,
One issue that's going to be hot nationwide is this whole issue of diplomas. Some states have multiple diplomas. Some states have, as South Carolina has, one diploma. And just what all this means for higher ed, those people are ripping their hair out trying to make sense out of this. The other question, student teachers, how many of our, do we work with higher ed to get student teachers?
No, I'm not
we
aware.
We have been trying.
Yeah. Wanda has been working with that. But
I actually have been working with USC as a supervisor myself for student teachers. And so I've really been trying to promote through USC. And their issue right now is they don't really understand charter schools.
Right.
And so as far as I've gotten this to this point is that they would welcome doing practicums like it were a specialized kind of school. But in terms of them really sending student teachers, I haven't made as much headway as I would like. But I'm still working on it. But USC is the only school I've worked with in terms of trying to recruit.
I applaud you for being out in front of that. One of the best sources for hiring teachers is student teachers. You get to see them for a long time before you have to hire them, and it will help us. It doesn't seem as though charter schools on the national level are really pursuing this higher ed connection. I don't know if we've come to grips. I don't know if we see charter schools as primarily elementary or what. But higher ed and having relationships with higher education is going to be vital to us. And again, the issue of student teachers is a part of that. But
yeah, I actually met with USC this week relative to partnerships. They wanted to explain. They wanted me to provide them a real written outline of what a partner does. And I said, there is no. But we do have a school we have two schools that are partnering with Clemson in various degrees. So for the next superintendent to continue to try to make those inroads, I think is going to be really important in the state. I spent an hour with a department head at USC just explaining what a charter school is.
Well, my wife is student teachers in one of the schools, and it was remarkable the misinformation she had about charter schools. I just couldn't believe it. So I'm on the board. You're making me look bad.
And Dr. S, I would say that we have to do a count every year of first-year teachers. We had 100 first-year teachers in our district this year.
Wow.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
It's too many.
Right. I was kind of right.
Yeah.
Good thing.
And last question: are there some issues brewing with East Point? Your sources are too close.
We have a meeting with them next week, and the answer is yes. Again, it's they were a school we mentioned relative to the performance framework that complained about that. And so we have a meeting with some of their board members and their director next week.
Okay.
probably Tuesday afternoon. We're working on a schedule now.
I hope, however, the issues resolve. They resolve under your, they materialize under your...
And this is, we've had other issues. Remember, we sent them a letter of caution relative to finance because of some loans they had that were, in our opinion, outside of the bounds of Charter School law. But, over the years, there have been issues. Probably a few more. Is it fair to say a few more there than some of our other schools?
But you're not aware of anything that's getting ready to come to head?
No.
Okay.
If you have some inside information, we'd be glad to accept that after the meeting.
That was a pregnant question.
Well,
I just, I'm usually the last to know, and so I there are things bubbling.
Circulating,
Well, remember, that's the only school that's actually had a parent show up here and what amounted to a...
discrimination.
An issue against the school. Oh, I do need to let you know, and I'll be glad to answer any questions there, but we finally finished everything with Palmetto E-Academy. That's over. They had a potential discrimination suit that was settled, and they sent us a closeout check this past week, and so we're they're officially over and done with, and that's the only one we can put a stamp on now.
Right.
But, the other two were still. You would think that MLD was over, but it's not.
Isn't her sentencing this month?
It is scheduled for this month. I haven't checked his calendar lately, but it was scheduled this month. We're waiting on courts in all of those cases. There's nothing else going on other than just waiting on courts to do stuff.
Mr. Chairman, I have one more item, if I may. I'd like to move that we reconsider the third reading of the budget from this morning in order to, and as your chair of the executive committee, I'll allow you to make the details known, but I make that motion that we can reconsider the third reading of this morning's budget.
Okay. Any discussion on that, or was there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Basically, what's happened is there's something we forgot to do.
But, you know, that's the right word.
There's been an omission. So all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay. At the last meeting, the board asked the executive committee to go back and think about if there was anything appropriate we may want to do in adjusting the compensation of the superintendent. I think you made that suggestion, am I right?
Yeah. Yes.
And we got all entangled in that other budget thing, and we did meet, and we did come up with something. And what we're recommending is that the effective immediately that the superintendent's salary be increased by $20,000.
It's a recommendation from
committee. That's right, it's a committee recommendation, so
effective
it doesn't need a
July
second.
July 1 or effective immediately?
Well, either way.
The motion is immediate.
Yeah, the motion is immediately, but if you want to change it to July 1.
No, I don't. I don't understand.
Is that clear?
I don't understand how you can do
it. Is that easier, Tasha, July 1?
Probably would be.
Okay.
The
superintendent's salary. Okay, July 1. That makes it cleaner. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's cleaner.
Question.
Yeah.
Just because this is my first meeting and I wasn't in right. this prior.
Okay, I'll bring you up to speed.
The question is why?
Okay.
You want me to explain why I recommend it?
Yeah.
I think we were taking advantage of the goodwill of the superintendent to continue. He had originally resigned, not resigned, re- asked to go on retirement effective, can't remember the date.
June.
Because of our...
July 1.
Because of our needs, he modified that to stay another semester while we hired a new superintendent at the current salary. And while he was willing to do that, the evaluations were outstanding evaluations. We had just completed the evaluation, and it was normally our custom, our practice, to if the person had an outstanding performance, that was reflected in the next year's compensation. While he chose to forego that, we recommended that he not be allowed to forego that, that in fairness, we not take advantage of that willingness to. Does that make any sense?
I understand.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, yes.
Now, I understand you're talking about the dates. Is this considered an annual salary?
Yes.
And you'll be here half the time, so basically it's $10,000?
That's right.
Or is this considered a bonus?
No, you were right the first time.
That's why I asked about the date.
It's increasing the salary, the annual compensation. And so it will be prorated, obviously. The amount of increase that actually flows.
So it's 10.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Okay.
Oh, my eye was contingent on we have something good for lunch.
And now we have to reconsider the third reading. All we did was, okay.
The amendment. Thank you, Madam Secretary. Okay, now, then, I hear a motion that we reconsider the budget.
Second.
And you've moved and seconded. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Thank you. That was unexpected. But I certainly appreciate it.
Well, so. You can take us all the time.
I have one other thing.
Okay.
I was at the district banquet that was last month, and I just wanted the board to know that it was well done, well attended, and the send-off that the staff and the schools gave Wayne was just tremendous. They did a video. I know you have a copy of it.
I do.
Had things to say, and he even had a shout out from the governor. Shout out from the women's basketball
team. Dawn Staley. That was the big.
Wow.
And she actually pronounced my name right, too.
Yeah. So it was really well done. It was a wonderful heartfelt send off, I think, from the schools and the work of the staff. And so you should. I felt really good about that.
It was touching. Even Spartanburg Prep gave me a plaque.
Mr. Von Rohr.
They called him the father of the charter school movement.
Oh,
that's appropriate.
Yes.
That's appropriate.
Yes.
Founding father, right here amongst us. Mm-hmm.
The father.
It was touching. So.
Okay, then I'll hear entertain a motion to adjourn. Okay. All in favor of adjourning, please say aye. Opposed, no. Okay. We have some lunch. We have some lunch. You're right. And then after that, you and I'll get together.
Just a minute.
Okay.